Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all here this morning. It's a cooler day out, which is lovely. But don't worry, it's going to turn back into summer before 2 o'clock this afternoon. It'll be great. I want to let you know some of the things that are happening in the life of the church. Be sure you take your bulletin home and read the rest of those. But one of the things that is happening is meet and greets with me. You can come and spend time in a small group to meet me and find out about each other, hear about your dreams for the church. The ones that I've attended so far have been wonderful conversations. So if you have not yet done that, see Jean Bowen after the service out there, and she will share with you some of the places and times that you could go to those. Next Sunday, August 25th, is all church gathering following worship, and we will be at that time talking about the Inclusivity Committee and letting them give a report on their work. There's also going to be a March for Unity that same day, and I have volunteered to help hand out water at Baseline and Mohawk at 4:30. If you are wanting to help me do that, I'd sure appreciate it. You can just show up that day, or you could let Tony know that you will be there, and she will put your name down. Beware of scams. Some of you, this last week, received an email that looked like it was from me, asking you to... Yes, it was that way. Asking you to help people in need. Now, I believe in helping, asking for that, and some days I might ask you to help someone in need, but I will call you. And be really careful what kinds of emails you respond to. The email address looked so much like it could have been mine, but my email address here at the church is seniorpastor@mtview.org. There's not at Gmail after it, so that's my church email. If you ever see something like that and you think, I'd like to help, call the church and ask. Just wanting to warn you. Unfortunately, people seem to be preying on churches right now. Two of my colleagues have had the same exact thing happen to them at their churches. So watch those scams, not just from the church, but other places. Also want to let you know that we're going to return to our three services on September 8th. We'll have the 8 o'clock, the 9:03, and the 10:30 service. So we will see what those feel like and start that back up on the 8th. And after the 10:30 service, there will be an ice cream social with our friends from the preschool. So that looks like that'll be a fun time. Also that day at 5:30, any families with children in 6th through 12th grades are invited to the Parsonage for cookout. So you'll be getting more information about that, but we'll kick off the youth program that same afternoon, but around 5:30 at our house, we'll cook out for them all. So that'll be fun. I know that last school year that Pastor Sarah taught youth Sunday school quite often. And she's not here, and we don't have another pastor. So if that's something that you've thought, I'd like to do that, I'd like to make a difference and impact those youth's lives, give me a call or email me and let me know, and we can talk about what that might look like together. Steve, where are you? Steve has got a lot to tell us of exciting things. I can't wait to hear about the music program.
Good morning. And thank you so much for singing so well during the hymn sing. It was absolutely wonderful. I like that, but I think more importantly, God liked that. You know, I can't imagine at all having a life without music in it. I could not do it. And the one thing I would never do is I would never attend a church that doesn't have a good, solid music program. I think there's just something about music making that just helps your heart. It just helps your heart. And of course, each week during worship, you get to hear the finished product. What you don't see is all of the hours of practice that are put in by all of our groups. And that's Chancel Choir, Head for Home, the Wesley Ringers, the Spirit Singers, our organist, our pianist. They put in lots and lots of hours for what sounds to you like just a pretty simple thing to do. We work hard on those types of things. And as much as I like the finished product, I'll tell you what, I like so much more the rehearsal process, working with a group of people that share my desire to perform a piece of music to the best of their ability. making the effort to have an impact on our congregation, doing their very best to praise Creator God in our worship. And through this rehearsal process, we come to know each other far more than just as musicians. We support each other through all of the changes of life, new jobs, retirement, weddings, divorces, births of children, deaths of loved ones. We become a family, and making music is the string that ties us all together. And there are members of our ensembles who have been coming to practice week after week for years and years. And you guys have been so nice in making sure that you go up and you thank them for their work. I've seen many people come up to them after we've done some kind of a big piece of music, and they'll come up and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you will do. And I'm grateful to you for doing that and making our musicians feel really respected, and we thank you for that. I will tell you, however, that the music program is a living organism. And it grows, it has to grow. And that means that just like the circle of life, people come on, people come off, people come in and join us, bring fresh ideas, fresh perspective, different voices, different ideas musically. And it's really important that we keep that going, you know. And you might have noticed last year that the Chancel Choir is getting a little bit smaller. Okay? And it would sure be nice if we could have a few more folks that could come in and sing with us. We need guitar players, piano players, singers for Head for Home. We could even use a drummer so we can give Ed a time off every now and then, you know, which would be very, very nice. We need more ringers and Wesley ringers. We have these really big bells downstairs that we never get to use, because I don't have enough ringers. But I know that there are some guys, some men, that want to take those big bells and just ring the heck out of them. We would love to have that, although I'm not saying there aren't some strong women in the group. And Chancel Choir Spirit Singer, we always need new singers. Let's get our kids started a little bit younger. Get them into Spirit Singers, all right? And I'm hoping that you all might be able to become a part next year. We are small but mighty right now, but to be perfectly honest, I would prefer large and mighty. My wife and I took our daughters to the Denver Museum of Nature and Science a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the Leonardo da Vinci exhibit. I don't know if any of you have seen that. I would strongly recommend that you go. And as we went around and saw all these things, there were all these quotes on the wall by Leonardo da Vinci, and one of them was this one. It had long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things. That's hugely important. Now, that could work at any program here in this church. Committees, coming in and helping out with cleaning up the church, all kinds of stuff. Helping out at weddings, funerals, and cooking, and so on. There's so many things. But right now, I am hoping that maybe you just might want to be involved with music. I can guarantee you that you will meet some very nice people. You will learn some really good music, and you will enjoy serving your church. Come and have a chat with me after church today. God bless you all. And if you'll stand, we're ready to start singing.
Good morning, everyone. Our first song is Blessed Be Your Name. The words are going to be right up on the screen.
They don't have the mains on. Mains aren't on.
Oh, and Linda says turn the mains on.
Land that is plentiful, where streams of water. shining down on me. When the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
I would encourage you to take a moment to greet each other in the name of Christ. Tell someone you're glad they're here this morning, and I invite the kids to come forward to get ready for children's time. Thank you.
Okay, so I've got the kids up here. We had a big week for some of you. I know we've got a couple of delays of school openings, for one of you at least. But you guys all got to start school this week, right? You got to go to school. Maybe not all of you. You haven't started either, right? So we've got a few more. So some of you are still waiting on your first day. But you guys that went to school this week, how was it? Good? Did you have fun? Did you learn anything yet? I know some of our high school friends are already at home doing homework. They've had school for 3 days, and they're already doing homework, but so do our middle schoolers. Look at that. Well, I hope you guys had a good day this week. Today, we are going to bless our backpacks. So if you didn't bring your backpack with you, it's okay. We can still bless your backpacks from afar. What do you think it means to bless your backpacks? Ellie, what do you think we're going to do to your backpack? We are going to send you guys off and pray for you guys. You're going to have an excellent year at school. We're not going to dump holy water on your backpack, Walker. It's going to be just fine. But in addition to blessing our backpacks, besides just praying for you guys and hoping you guys have a great year, we also have these backpack tags that you guys are working on. And we have extras, so anybody in our congregation, if you work in a school, if you are a teacher or an administrator or a bus driver or you help serve lunches or you're a volunteer who just likes to be with the kids, we have tags for everybody today. So you guys, some of you already started up. This is Rupert's. You guys will notice we've got our tags. We've got beads. Rupert found a lot of cross beads and some anchor beads. My friend Eleanor here put lots of hearts on hers, or her beads. We've got a side to color and a side with words to read. So let's look at that side to read. At first it says, you didn't put your name on it, good doll. It says, you have help. So when you go to school, can you do everything by yourself, you think? No, you need some help, right? So you've got teachers who can help you. You might have other friends who can help you too, right? You've got your parents at home, but who else do you have? You've got God. That's right. If you need some help, you can pray and say, God, please help me. And he's going to give you the help you need. This card also says you have power. Show me those muscles. Who's got power? We all have power. Do you know we have power? We have power because we have God. God's love gives us strength. It gives us courage. It helps us do things that might be out of our comfort zone a little bit. So you guys have power. This tag also says, you can do it. It says, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Can you do everything right now? Are there going to be things at school this year that you can't do? There are going to be. There's going to be some that are kind of hard. Homework is hard. Math is hard. Reading is hard. Sometimes friends can be hard too, right? But we have God who's going to give us lots of strength to get through anything. So these tags will go with you and remind you. On the side you color, what does it say? What is that word on that side? Loved. More than anything else, you guys. You guys are going to learn all your math and your social studies and your science and your reading, but more than anything else, I want you guys to remember that word, loved. You guys are loved. You are loved by your families. You are loved by your friends. You are loved by your teachers and your schools. Look out at this congregation. You are loved by every person here, and you are always loved by God. That will never change, right? So this whole year at school, remember, you've got help. You've got power. You can do it, and you are loved. It's going to be a good school year, right? What do you guys think? I'm excited. Can we say a prayer? Say, hey, God, thanks for the week. Thanks for my school and my teachers and my friends. Thanks to everybody who helps me learn. And thanks to everybody for caring about me. And thank you, God, for your never-ending love. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Okay, we're going to have some time later in the service where we get to bless our backpacks, too. So remember, if you don't have them, you can still come up and be blessed, okay? Let's go back to the playground, guys.
We come to a time of sharing joys and concerns, and one that I would share with you already. I was asked about Jim Calhoun. Many of you have wondered about Jim. Jim has been home for a while now and is doing speech therapy. He's in very good health. It's just a matter of getting those words to come through. And those of you who know Jim know how frustrating that must be for him. And so he's home. They appreciate cards, notes, particularly your prayers, and reach out to them. So yes, that he is improving greatly. Are there other prayers of joy or concern that you would share this morning? Adam. Thank you. His friend Donnie has pneumonia and a blood clot in his lungs, so prayers for him in this time. I hear, Rebecca. Congratulations. Other prayers that you bring this morning? Jane.
My neighbor is in his last days.
Jane's neighbor is in his last days. Prayers for that journey with them. Prayers for teachers, whether they be back in the room they've been in for a long time or new places, a new school year, just to give them confidence in this difficult time to be a teacher. Kim. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Prayers for Kim's friend in California that passed away and her husband who had to have brain surgery soon thereafter. Oh my goodness, a friend from college whose a plane went into their house and killed his father and sister. Prayers for them at that difficult time. Oh my. Let us turn to God in prayer as we offer up the prayers that we have shared and the prayers that are deep within our hearts in a moment of silence. Oh God, we come before you this morning with prayers in our hearts and prayers that we share, prayers of concern, prayers of the journey of life and those who in this past week we have lost, either due to illness or accident or shock. We have no words for those places of hurt, but we know that you are present. And we pray that you would lend your love and peace and strength in those difficult situations. We come to this time, to this place, and share together. That is one of the great things that church can do, is to lift one another in prayer. We know sometimes words fail us, prayers fail us, but this body of Christ can lift each other, even when we don't know what to say or where to turn. We hear prayers of anxiety as new school years start. We hear prayers of joy on the face of our children as all things are new and shiny this day to them. Help us to understand, to find blessings, but also to know that there are days that feel like there are none. Be with us in this place and beyond. Touch those families who are suffering loss. Help us learn how to bring comfort, to be your hands in this world. And sometimes prayers fail us, words fail us. Help us to then turn to your Son and the prayer he taught us as together we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would invite the ushers to come forward to receive your gifts and your offerings this morning. And as they come through and make that possible for you to give an offering, will you stop and think about those gifts that you are returning and what they might be doing in this world? Ushers.
Watching over me.
the gifts in our lives, including the gift of place, a place to come and to share, a place to provide a spot for children. We give you thanks, and we ask that you would bless these gifts. Amen. I know the next song is one that most of these people up here probably know. I'm guessing. If they don't, when you get home, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, teach them this song. And I just want to let them know so that they could join in singing this with us. Let's hear Jesus Loves Me.
Please join me with the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Scripture today comes from Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. It's in the Pew Bible, page 8. Please feel free to read aloud as I read. Then little children were being brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was sitting there waiting for something to happen and I realized that was me. Sorry about that. Today is our third week in the sermon series about blessings. The first 2 weeks we looked at the Beatitudes, particularly the first half of them on personal ideas around blessings, and then the second half looking at ways that we are to be a blessing in this world, ways that we are to act and to do and be. Today, though, we're just going to talk about children and blessing children. That seemed fitting for a day when we bless their backpacks and bless them on their way this school year as we help them get ready. And so just to think about children and this text from Jesus. Now, many of you know this text. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you might be aware of this one. Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me." And we all go, oh, it's a beautiful little passage. It's one that makes us feel happy because we think that, of course, Jesus loved children. We teach our children that. We teach them that Jesus loves them. And we grow up believing that. But Jesus also loved grown-ups. Don't forget that, you grown-ups. One of the things that sometimes I think we do as people who grew up in church, those of you who grew up in church were blessed to do that, I know, but sometimes we forget that what we believed as children in the playground doesn't always fit our adult life, and we get confused about that, and we start to worry, and we decide to doubt our faith because it's not as when we were children, and we don't have that fun little moment of, oh, anymore, because we're grown-ups. And I want to tell you that it's okay to grow in your faith, to understand Jesus in different ways, to understand Bible stories in different ways. For example, maybe this Bible story even can be understood in a different way. This story is about they're bringing the children to Jesus, and the disciples say, no, stop, take them away. Don't let them be near him. And Jesus says, oh, let the children come. But maybe there was a reason they didn't want the children to come to Jesus. And maybe that reason wasn't about them being a nuisance, or maybe a different kind of nuisance. You know, one of the things that children, particularly little ones, are really good at? Repeating everything they have ever heard. Ask any preschool teacher. Ask any pastor who has open mic time at children's time. Ask anyone who's been around small people, and they like to tell you what they know. It can be kind of embarrassing. A good friend of mine tells a story of being at a big family gathering, at a big dinner, with the man that she had been dating for a while. She kind of liked him, kind of thought maybe someday things would get more serious, but not quite there yet. His 3-year-old niece stood up on a chair at the dinner table and loudly proclaimed, as only a 3-year-old could, "When are you going to marry this girl? We like her." And she sat back down. Children will do that, won't they? Oh, they pick the worst times, too. Children in Jesus' time were known to do the same thing. Often, in Jesus' time, people lived in a large family compound, a lot of different people in one space. But during the day, often the women would get together in one space and do tasks, and the men would get together in another and do tasks, and the children, they just ran around all over the place. They ran around all over the place listening to what was being said here or there or back over there. And their favorite thing to do was to gossip and to run and tell the other group, "You won't believe what those people are saying." And they spread those rumors. Not even rumors, they were telling the truth, as only children can do. So when people were trying to bring the children to Jesus and the disciples said no, maybe they were remembering that and not wanting the children to run around telling stories. But Jesus said, let them come and hear everything and tell it all, because it's okay. I'm not doing anything I don't want people to know about. There's no gossip here. Let them tell how I've healed people. Let them tell how I have made things different. Let them tell. Bring the children to me. Jesus wasn't afraid of how he lived his life. He wasn't afraid to share the stories of his life. When I started to think about children, and I love the way that story might be told, that it's really about permission giving to tell not gossip, but the true gospel message. And Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom. If Jesus knew they would share, and that's how you belong to the kingdom, what are we supposed to be about? Maybe we too are supposed to tell the story and make a difference in the world. Tell a story and help others find a place like this where they can come. Bring their children. And I started to think, what about the children of this world? And that felt big. And so I thought about our children, and I asked Larissa to tell me something about this playground, and this is what she wrote, and pretty soon we're going to have these in the pews. We just didn't get our act together quickly enough. But this is what she says. Kids are invited to worship in our playground, a space at the front of the sanctuary. where kids enjoy simple crafts, activities, and books, while they see and hear all that is happening during worship. Believe me, they do listen. This means they might dance during the hymn, or they might whisper during prayer time, or move around during the sermon. But they are participating. They are learning what worship means, and they are creating worship habits that they will remember. And she goes on to say, for those of you in the congregation, the way we welcome children in church directly affects the way they respond to church, to God, and to one another. Here, the presence of children is a gift and a reminder. Please welcome children and give their parents a smile of encouragement. Those of you who have already outgrown this stage, do you remember it? Do you remember how when your child did something in church, you knew it was the end of the world and nobody else seemed to care? Encourage the parents of these children. Let them know that they're welcome here, that while they're being children, we can be blessed by their presence. So remember that. That's the children here in this church, and we are blessed to have them. Did you know that there are many Methodist churches that would be so happy to have a child? And look at the wonderful group of them we have right here. What a blessing. And thank you, parents, for getting them here to church, for letting them play, letting them make friends. I watch them wait for their friends and knowing that church is a place for them. But what about the children who aren't here? Because there are a lot of them. There are more who aren't here than are here. What about the children of Boulder County, maybe? How are they doing? Well, they must be doing well. They're in every club, every sports activity, all the best of everything. Not all of them. Statistics show that about 8,300 children in Boulder County, 8,300, go to bed hungry every night. And not just because they didn't like what their parents offered them for dinner, but because their parents couldn't offer them dinner. Not because they're picky eaters, but because there was nothing to pick at. That's a lot of children in our midst that can't wait for school to start so they can have lunch again. Who dread the weekend. Those are the children we need to be worried about, concerned about, and think about how we can make a difference in their lives. The children of the world need us because their voices are small. What they can do and say are small. They need us to care for them, even if they tell stories about us. They need us to be responsible for them. Have you heard about children around the world? Not just here in Boulder County, but further away. Because actually, that percentage of hungry children is pretty small. In the country, they say that one in six in this country. Around the world, it's even higher. We see pictures all the time. We understand and hear of children around the world that are in need. It's not a political question. It's a humane question. It's a question of mercy. When Jesus said, "Let the children come," he didn't just mean to him. Who represents, who are followers now? We are. We see children suffering in so many ways around this world. It gets overwhelming sometimes. To think that we could make a difference, but we can. Whether it's making sure there are markers up here, or making sure that no children go to bed hungry, or making sure that children in war-torn places feel safe. Some of you will have heard of a man named Kurt Nestor. He's a composer. And he spent a lot of time in the 1970s in the country that was then Yugoslavia. And he became friends with many people in that country. People of all the different types of religion and ethnic background in that country. And they were his friends. But then in 1980, when the dictator Tito died, the power vacuum got filled. People wanted to have power, and things like genocide started, and war broke out. And he was torn apart, because these were people he loved, all of them. The Serbians, the Croatians, the Bosnians, it didn't matter. They were just his neighbors and friends. And he didn't know what to do. He was overwhelmed, just like sometimes we are. So he wrote a song. It's a beautiful piece. And I'd like you all to hear it now as Michael Lee and Nicholas play it for us.
Prayer of the children on bended knee in the shadow of an unknown moon. Empty eyes with no more tears to cry. Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul to take. Can you of the children aching for home, for something of their very own, reaching hands with nothing to hold on to but hope for a better day, a better.
Can you hear the prayer of the children? Can you hear the children crying out? Can you hear that prayer? How will you respond to the children of this church, to the children of the county, the children around the world? Can you hear the prayers of the children? It's not easy. It's overwhelming, but it's ours to live with, to make a difference in, and to reach out wherever we can. To end this sermon, we're going to take time to bless the children, the teachers, the administrators, the professors, the people of this congregation, if you want that blessing. You're invited to come forward. We'll have four of us from the staff spread across here. Those of you who are coming, come ahead and join me, Steve and Larissa and Susie. Just come forward. If you don't have a bag with you, that doesn't matter. If you have a prayer for children, if you would like a blessing, we invite you to come. And for those of you who want to stay here in your spot, that's fine too. But will you be in prayer for those who come forward and for the children who ask, can you hear the prayers of the children? I invite you to come as you feel to be prayed for. Gracious and loving God, pour out your spirit on the children, all of the children, and teach us in this year ahead to hear them pray, to bring them peace, to bring them love, to bring them value, Lord. Bless every person in this place. For while we bless the children and their backpacks, we remember that we are all the children of God. Amen. Those of you who would like a tag later can help yourselves to them. I invite you to stand as you are able to sing our closing hymn. Remember that you are the children of God. Go and hear the prayers. Amen.